UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome. We're talking today about lung cancer screening guidelines and the latest recommendations. My guest is Dr. Devika Das. She's a hematologist, medical oncologist, and clinical assistant professor at UAB Medicine. Dr. Das, I'm so glad to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about the current state of lung cancer. Do you feel that there is more awareness? What are you seeing as far as incidence and awareness?
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for this opportunity. So a little bit of background. So in terms of lung cancer screening, the first guidelines really came out in 2013 when the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended an annual low-dose CT scan for adults between the age of 55 to 80 years who had at least a 30-pack-year smoking history and were either currently smoking or had quit within the last 15 years. This guidelines was sort of informed by a large randomized controlled phase 3 trial, the National Lung Screening Trial, which observed a 20% relative reduction in deaths from lung cancer with an annual low-dose CT scan versus the regular chest X-ray that is done. Despite that, recommendations that have been here for a few years, we have seen overall in the U.S., these guidelines have not been widely adopted. Unlike our counterparts in Europe, where this is done more robustly. And the reasons for that are not very clear. We've had some more data that has come out recently that we'll hopefully discuss that has sort of there has been a resurgence of interest in doing lung cancer screening, and we'll talk a little bit about why that is important.
That was a great explanation of the history and how it's changed. How do risk assessment for patients who would benefit from screening for lung cancer work now? Is there anything different in these recommendations?
Yes. So UAB being one of the sites within the National Comprehensive Cancer Center Network participates in the working group that has adopted the previous guidelines and have come up with some recommendations and suggestions on what physicians and other providers could do about making decisions about lung cancer screening. So if you look at the NCCN guidelines, they provide a tool for risk assessment of patients that includes very extensive smoking history, having a significant amount of radon exposure, having occupational exposures to things like silica, cadmium, asbestos, etc., having a previous history of cancer. And most of all, what's important is having a shared decision-making between the provider and the patient, where the patient needs to have a functional status that will support treatment and workup so that we can provide the quality of life that is expected from these screening studies.
Dr. Das, explain a little bit about a recent study on the benefits of lung cancer screening, the Nelson trials. Tell us what that was and what they found.
So the lung cancer screening is done using a low-dose CT scan. And like I said, the U.S. has been a little bit behind in adopting these guidelines, unlike our counterparts in Europe. So Nelson trial was presented last year at a large lung cancer conference, and this was done over multiple years, was a population-based trial that was looking at the efficacy of low-dose CT scans as a method of screening for lung cancer and was done in patients in Belgium and Netherlands. The most exciting observation from this study was that the use of a low-dose CT scan translated to a marked improvement in lung cancer-specific mortality among the patients that got the low-dose CT. And to really explain that, they saw that the hazard ratio in men that had the low-dose CT scan was 0.74. That translates to a 26% reduction of risk of them dying from lung cancer if they had the CT scan, and the number was even better for women at 39%. In other words, the chest CT screening led to far fewer lung cancer deaths.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. So what do you want other providers to take from that trial and to make it more robust here as it is in Europe? What do you want to happen here?
So what needs to happen is more awareness of lung cancer screening and why lung cancer screening prevents mortality and how does it benefit our patients. Another thing that they saw in the Nelson trial was a large number of patients who were on the screening CT arm were diagnosed in early stages. So in stage one, 50% of those cases were diagnosed in early stage, as opposed to the patients that were in the control arm and were not getting the regular CT scans, were diagnosed in stage three and stage four. That's important because of the overall poor survival rate of lung cancers, especially when they are diagnosed in a later stage. If you look at some of the recent data that's available for the American Cancer Society that looks at the SEER database, so the data is lagging a little bit, but looking at data from 2008 to 2014, if you have a localized lung cancer that is treated, your five-year survival is close to 60 or 70%. And that number drops if you have disease that is spread regionally and further drops if you have distant metastatic disease or if you have stage four disease. And at that point, your survival at 5 years is in single digits. So as you can see, it's so much more beneficial to diagnose lung cancer at an early stage because it gives you an opportunity to offer treatment that is potentially curative and will provide a better quality of life.
What an interesting topic and study. So, Dr. Das, how do you want providers to follow up on the screening? What should be the next step with their patients?
So once you have done the initial screening study, which, again, I want to throw in a little bit of a caveat. I know the high-risk patient per the NCCN guidelines is a patient who is between the age of 55 to 74, has a more than 30-pack-year smoking history, and has had smoking cessation within the last 15 years. This is a Category 1 recommendation or the highest level of recommendation. That being said, there are lots of other patients that you as a provider would suspect has a high-risk disease or has had some other exposures that puts them at risk. And if you're concerned about that, there are some risk calculators that are available online, like the Tamimaji lung cancer risk calculator. And once you plug the numbers in, if their risk for lung cancer over a six-year time frame is more than 1.3%, then NCCN recommends to go ahead and screen these patients. Once you have identified a patient that you think should be screened, at that point, you need to have a conversation with the patient and the family members with them. And this really needs to be a shared decision that's made based on their coexisting comorbidities and functional status that would really permit them to be considered for curative intent therapy. Like I said, the screening is done with a low-dose CT scan. And once the initial scan is done, the radiologist usually provides a recommendation on the report in terms of what they find. And from there on, you would end up screening the patient either every year or you do it every few months based on what you find on that initial screening CT scan. That being said, you need to have a center that does a large volume of low-dose CT scans and have availability of a multidisciplinary team that includes a good pulmonologist, have thoracic surgery, have good radiologists, which we do have available at UAB. So that's, we're very lucky in that regard. What is unclear about the lung cancer screening at this point is we don't know how long we screen these patients for. None of the studies have looked at how long we need to keep this going. So that is one of the sort of drawbacks that we don't know. Once you start this, I guess you kind of reassess them every year. And as long as they are strong enough and are able to go through treatment, I think there is a benefit to doing lung cancer screening. Now, if you have a patient that's incredibly frail, but meets all the risk categories, I think it's a conversation that you have with the patient and the family member if it's worth going down that path if you cannot offer them therapy down the line.
Such an interesting bit of information. Dr. Das, what would you like other providers to take away from this episode? Where do you see this screening going from here? Do you think that we in the States are going to take up this mantra that you're stating here today? What do you think is going to happen?
I think we are going to use the data from Nelson's study and some other smaller studies that have been done even in the U.S., and I think the lung cancer screening rates are going to go up now that we know that there is a specific mortality benefit, and just by the fact that knowing lung cancer is such a lethal disease. What's really needed is more clarity on how soon should we start screening patients and for how long. And I think the more data we have, and over the years, I think this would be much more clear for us in terms of having those discussions with patients. Also, what would make it very helpful is to have all the insurance providers to pay for these screenings. And as of now, I know CMS and a lot of other providers are on board, so that is not a barrier that we have anymore. So I think overall in the U.S., we are going to see the lung cancer screening rates go up, and I think it's absolutely critical that that happens.
Thank you so much for such great information, Dr. Das, and thank you for joining us today and sharing your expertise on these latest guidelines for lung cancer screening. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line, 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.